in St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday to everybody.
Happy Tuesday.
No meeting scheduled today, so right. Gotta do the whole thing.
Dang it.
Maybe I can schedule one.
Dave's like,
Do I have that kind of clout to call a meeting?
Like, oh, you mean start one?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, good question.
What would the meeting be about?
Nothing. I just tell some jokes.
Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to workshop some stuff.
That sounds good.
I had this thought last night while I was high, and I just wanted to run it by all the bosses, so. Should we start with the controversy from lunch?
Oh, you mean our controversy?
Yes. I mean, made everyone shut up. Now, you could have kept talking once I left.
No.
Okay. But Wheels, I'll let you set the stage.
Well, I forget where it started it. Like, I remember where it became, because I think I brought up, do you remember the Daffy Duck? Or the, which, I said, who was it? Was it Daffy or Bugs or somebody like that that found, like, a pile of gold? And he was, like, he turned into, like, a psycho because of the gold.
Yeah.
And then we had the generational divide show up.
Yes.
Because Andrew was pretty clearly, like, sold that it was Scrooge McDuck. And I'm like, no. Scrooge didn't exist when this happened. Scrooge McDuck wasn't even a character when this happened.
I don't even know what it is you're accusing Daffy of having done.
Daffy found a treasure in a cave, and he turned into a psychopath, and he was trying to, like, push Bugs Bunny out, and he was going, it's mine, mine, it's all mine.
I'm rich, I'm a wealthy miser.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I'm independently wealthy.
Yeah, independently wealthy.
You said he dove into the treasure.
He does. He dives into the treasure, like, multiple times during the episode.
Yeah.
He just, like, does a big old swan dive, boom, and then he pops up, and he's in there, and he's like, it's mine.
So you're accusing Disney of having stolen it.
I think Disney stole everything.
I think, anything that followed Daffy and gold that looked like that was something. And Disney used a duck to do it. Like, come on. You didn't even choose a different animal.
Although Scrooge, I don't think Scrooge had his own show or anything, but he may have existed when Daffy did.
He did. He was created in 1947.
There you go.
Yeah, but he wasn't a TV show.
He was on DuckTales.
Woo.
I cannot forget that stupid jingle from my kid watching it.
I never watched that.
Yeah, my kid did.
Scrooge McDuck, created in 1947. The Looney Tune that Kevin is referring to is called Alibaba Bunny,
yes,
which came out in 1957.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
First of all, awesome. Second of all, that seems a little problematic.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't really want to say it.
What else happens in Alibaba Bunny?
Everything was problematic in the old cartoons.
Everything. Yeah.
I mean, they were doing, like...
You have to understand, yeah, like, being my age, at least... In St. Louis, everyone my age listening will remember this. Morning television was, you know, like Bugs Bunny was very racist and problematic, you know.
Oh, sexist. By today's standard. You name it. Like, I mean, Pepe Le Pew's a stalker.
But every now and then, they'd get worse. And they would throw like a 1930 black and white,
yes,
cartoon.
Oh,
they're like, deepest,
God,
darkest Africa.
Yes.
And you're like, I'm not comfortable with this.
No,
I'm
if you
not
see
sure
them now,
they're...
you're like, how did human beings make this?
Yeah.
I've got it, by the way.
Listen to me. I'm rich. I'm a happy miser.
There you go.
There you go. So you're both right.
He sounds so cute.
Yeah. He was very excited.
And he was little.
Because he's
he was
rich.
Shrunk down for,
yes,
some reason.
Yes, he got shrunk. Yes, because the genie shrunk him down, I think.
Mm.
Isn't that what happened, Dave? He rubbed the magic lamp and then something like that's what shrunk him down tiny?
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Casey Lloyd brings up romper room. God, I was in love with Miss Lois.
What's a romper room?
What's a romper room?
Oh,
what's,
yeah,
a romper room?
Is that what her name was?
Miss Lois. Well,
was
I
it?
Think they had different ones around,
oh,
the country.
Okay. Because they definitely did the whole, like, so this lady would she do it at the beginning or the end?
End.
At the end of the show, would look through like a magnifying glass, like she's looking through the camera, and just list children's names.
I see Rachel.
I see Dave. I see Rachel. And then when you heard your name, you'd be like, ah!
Magic mirror, please tell me today, did all of my friends have fun at play? I see my buddies in Nova Scotia. There you are.
Nova Scotia.
Oh, that's the Canadian romper room.
Anyway.
They didn't even name the kids' names.
Just forget it.
It'd be like, I see
calling
Rachel
out entire
and
countries.
Andrew. Yeah.
I only recognize one Miss Lois, and that is Peter's wife.
Peter.
Wheels doesn't watch Family Guy, which is
the
most important thing to me.
Yeah, he is Family Guy.
He is Family Guy coded, without a doubt.
I feel like my generation had a weirder childhood entertainment experience than you guys did, just because they were just throwing crap on the wall for us.
Yeah.
And none of it made sense, and it was just crazy. And you guys had crazy cartoons, like Nick's mom didn't let him watch Ed, Edd n Eddy and Angry Beavers and stuff like that, which I did. Sorry, Jen. And I'd get the leg up somehow.
Well, it's anything any of us watch is nothing compared to the things kids are stumbling across online these days.
Like, oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'll always see TikToks of like, I think I've sent them to you, Andrew, where it's like, my baby sister's been watching this channel and now she's grounded. And it'll just be like a song. And then the song gets like really profane really fast.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. And it's all in like little kid colors and... they'll like reference drugs and reference alcohol. Wow. They like sneak it in there. It's very troubling. Don't let your little child use YouTube without supervision.
Do you guys have you heard of dopamine sites?
No.
So I had neither, and I saw a story on it today, and it is so the best I can explain it is by giving an example. There's one called Deliveroo, and it allows you to have a DoorDash experience to shop through and choose all the food you want, and then it you don't pay for it and it's never delivered. So there are like fake eBays and fake Neiman Marcus's where you can have the dopamine hit, supposedly, if you love shopping or if you love golf or whatever it is, but you don't actually have any transactions.
Does that work?
I don't know. I mean, evidently like they're huge.
Like, do you get the same fix knowing it's fake and knowing it's not coming? Because usually the fix is like you get that rush when you're like, yeah, it's time. Here we go.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a pretty good example of this with my eBay problem, which I've been very good about the last few months. But for me, when the package is delivered, I'm always a little bit disappointed.
Really?
Yeah. It was like more the chase, like, oh my gosh, look at this baseball glove from 1974 and I have to have it and blah, 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 you know, bidding on it or buying it and then like, oh, it's going to come in. And then when it does, it's real cool for like 5 minutes and I'm like, oh, what's next? So maybe I should get on Deliveroo.
Well, I get the what's next, but the what's next doesn't happen until you get the thing.
Yeah, getting the thing is fun. It just doesn't last very long.
Yeah.
Which I think is what we've learned from 10,000 years of philosophy.
Yeah.
Basically. Is like you just keep wanting more of it. So, but I thought that was kind of interesting. That's a thing for grown people.
I mean, I guess if it works, but I don't know. It feels like they're with no payoff. Like, at what point does it stop working?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I did that, I'd be kind of upset that I wasted the time shopping, and then I don't even get the stuff.
Right.
Although, not to call you out, but you love to look at real estate.
Yeah, but that's because I have, well, sure, but I mean, I have a real interest in real estate. I think it's a little different, like getting familiar with properties and comps in your area, and then like, I'm going to add the Whopper to my cart, but I'm never going to check
out. I'm not
going to
eat it.
Right, right. I think it's a little different to have like a big dream and have an idea and thing you want to work on versus a cheeseburger.
And for me, it's also like, I'm not going into it like I'm going to buy this home. I'm nosy and I like to know what kind of properties are out there and what's available. It's just fun to familiarize myself.
It seems harmless though if it gets you what you want.
True. I mean, it's better than spending money you don't have.
Ah, good point.
I learned about a new T-Rex last night.
T-Rex?
It's called Tylosaurus Rex. T-Y-L. It was bigger than the T-Rex, and it was an ocean-going dinosaur, and it's supposedly the most powerful meat eater of all time.
Yeah, it's a big guy.
Yeah.
I think that's in the Jurassic World.
Oh, yeah?
I think that's what it is. Maybe I'm wrong about which one they're depicting, but yeah.
Never heard of it.
It's a massive sea, like, almost like a crocodile.
He looks cool.
He's huge, though, you know. Like croco-whale.
Crazy.
Wouldn't it be crazy if, because we really don't know what the dinosaurs looked like on the outside for sure. What if he was like bright pink?
Yeah. Could be.
I mean, we don't know.
No.
We tend to go by what we know about similar species. In other words, if you're bright pink predator, probably not great because you're going to stand out visually to the animals you want to eat.
Yeah, but he's so big and bad, it doesn't even matter.
Like me. I'm big and pink. I saw something last night. You guys may need to Google this to make sure I didn't dream it.
Okay.
But I swear, that's going to sound so stupid.
By the way, that was the thing in the Jurassic Park I looked at.
Oh, good. We are training Madagascar hissing cockroaches to scuba dive. We have made little tiny scuba suits for them for espionage purposes and rescue purposes that we can, they can breathe through this apparatus for like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can control their bodies by using electrical impulses. So basically, a person's driving one or a thousand Madagascar hissing cockroaches through a cave trying to find a bunch of, you know, soccer kids or whatever it is. You looking at this?
It's on the New York Post.
Okay, there you go.
They could possibly be going to Mars.
Yes, they talked about it, using them on Mars.
Yeah. Interesting.
Tiny scuba suits.
What are the cockroaches going to do when they get to the soccer team in the cave?
Yeah, what are they going to do about
it?
They can't help. Do they just leave them there? Plus, or do they bring
them
back?
Now I'm stuck in the cave that's flooded and there's a bunch of cockroaches in my living space.
Plus, I know they're cockroaches.
This is just great.
But it doesn't seem right to just like mechanically control another being.
It doesn't seem right, does it? It's terrible.
I don't know. They don't really respect our rights. Bugs are always getting in things.
Well, I guess we better shoot them into space.
I think we're kind of living on their planet.
Well, then they should do something about it.
Oh, you're asking for it.
I'm just kidding.
You are asking for it.
If they could do something about it, we'd be in trouble.
You're going to find a tiny scuba suit in your house. Damn it, they're here. Did you see the Mexican Batman?
What?
No.
There's a vigilante in Mexico that is targeting bicycle thieves, and he is duct taping them to light poles and then writing the Mexican word for thief or robber on their faces and leaving them for the cops.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obviously risky, but it's funny. I guess bike thieves are probably not the most dangerous criminals to target.
Yeah,
he's not going after the cartel.
Yeah, it looks like young teenage boys taped up to these light poles here.
Even weirder.
I guess if you're going to pick a type of thief to vigilante against, it would probably be safest to pick bike thieves over a lot of the others.
Yeah, there you go.
Batman of Lagos de Moreno.
I had my bike stolen once by a neighbor. We knew exactly who it was.
A neighbor seems like the worst person to steal your bike.
Dude, every neighbor I had in South Roxana was some kind of thief. I mean, it's just like, it's all about what kind of criminal you were.
Did they ride the bike in front of you?
No, they left it behind the shed, all stripped off. And that's when I got my Pee Wee Herman bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's when my dad took me out to Sears. And I picked the very first bike I saw, which was like the kind of bike you would ride in the 1930s.
The banana seat?
It was Pee Wee Herman's bike because it was green. It had fenders. It had big, fat, white-walled tires. It was a dork bike.
It didn't have the banana seat? Did it have just a regular seat?
No. It's the dorkiest bike you can imagine. It was an old man bike in 1974, but I had no patience. And even my dad was like, you want this bike? I'm like, I want that bike. And I got home. I'm like, what have I done? Welcome back, DGS. I want to talk a little bit about this Representative Keene, who had been completely gone from Congress for 4 months. Not a sign, not a word. Couldn't get a hold of his staff, didn't do anything, didn't vote, nothing, absolutely nothing. Became this big mystery, and he came back and he spoke and he said that he had depression and he had to be hospitalized for like 3 months, and it rubbed me the wrong way. And so I want to be very clear. This is like, not everyone can talk about every topic. this is one I feel like I have earned over 61 years. I've never been diagnosed with clinical depression, but I have been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder and CPTSD and ADHD. So I feel like I can talk about this. And I'm sorry, sir, that you had this problem. And I'm happy that you got help. A lot of people don't get help and they spiral or they end up taking their own lives like my brother did. So I'm glad. I'm glad. However, you have a job. And to me, it's no different than if you work at Taco Bell. And I doubt you could miss 4 months of work being a normal person and not tell your employer, who in this case is us, what's going on, what the deal is. And I didn't like his attitude. I just thought it was very entitled and like he had a get out of jail free card. And I don't see it that way. Like, okay, you had depression, have depression. A lot of people do. And sounds like you had it pretty bad and it kind of snuck up on you and you got treatment and that's wonderful. But don't expect us to be like, oh, that's great. I see now why you didn't communicate with anyone for 4 months. I see now why you totally ignored your job, your constituents, your fellow Congress people. I 2 and 2 doesn't add up to 4 for me on this one. And so I think you can say both things. Good for you. You got help. I wish you well in the future. But that wasn't okay. And it's not okay to do that. And just because you're in Congress doesn't give you special golden rules that you get to basically ignore and not do your job for a fourth of a year, third of a year, and then just act like it's fine. Thoughts?
Pretty much the same as yours. You know, I mean, sympathy for the human being because, look, depression, all of these things, depression, anxiety, they're real and they suck. They're terrible. They do damage. But the way that you phrase this is dead on. This is what privilege looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to just be an elected official working for your constituents, but you have the privilege and, oh, by the way, the health care coverage that affords you the ability to take 4 months and just disappear. But I also want to know, why was he trading stocks while he was gone during all that time?
Yeah.
Because he had to affix his own digital signature to a lot of the stock trades that he made. So you can make stock trades, unless someone's doing that for you, which signing your name for you seems like a pretty bad deal when it comes to financial things. Again, unless there's something we don't know about, like he gave power of attorney to a family member or whatever, an attorney or whatever. But like, that's a bad look too. Your personal signature going on stock trades while you've taken 4 months off your job? And not explained it. That's the part. Like, I don't mind the 4 months if you're going to explain it. If you're going to tell everybody, hey, listen, I'm dealing with this. It's real. It's awful. I'm going through it. That's why I'm out. But 4 months of deflection and hiding and not telling people. And again, I get it. I understand. If you want your privacy, get out of the private sector or the public sector. You want privacy, go into the private world. Go into private business. If you're going to be a member of Congress, your problems are not private.
Agreed.
So many times, I got your meeting between the lines. I said I'd never.
Welcome back, DJS. Brian says, are you all doing a special show for the 4th? I don't think we have anything like special programming for the DGS. Friday, we're only on for an hour. The 4th is, of course, Saturday. But Hancock and Kelly have a great series right now, celebrating the 250th, yeah. Doing all sorts
great
of
great guests, great topics.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So definitely check that out.
And I think, are we running that on the 4th of July?
We are. It looks, I'm there looking at the weekly schedule here, 9 a.m. here on KMOX. You can hear Hancock and Kelly.
Yeah. I've heard a couple and they're really good.
Dude, they're so good. And obviously if they're not already, they will be podcasted at some point.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Sunday, the 4th. Oh, I was wrong.
Well, we probably have a baseball game.
We have a baseball game at 6:15, yeah. But it looks like kind of regular KMOX programming on the 4th of July, other than that.
Robert Walsh, who's been with us for a long time in the stream, who's talked about his depression, says, I've alluded to it before. This show and you awesome people have been a huge help getting out of that deep, dark hole. Thank you. Honestly, thank you. You are very welcome.
Yeah, and by the way, glad you're out of the hole.
Yeah.
It's our privilege to be able to, I mean, like, that. Nothing feels better than that, just knowing that we can be a friendly program to people and help people feel better.
100%.
Pretty amazing.
All right, let's talk about the transgender thing. Supreme Court today. Now, look, I'm no Brad Young, okay? I've not read the opinion. I'm not going to give you a breakdown of what the, you know, majority and the dissent said. But my understanding is that the Supreme Court sided with the Trump administration and said that states can ban transgender athletes from competing in women's sports. Is that about the long and short of it?
Basically, it's given the rights to the states to make those rules for their own athletic, associations.
Yeah. So Wheels, is that, I mean, I know that would include like public schools, but when they say women, what kind of state associate, would that be college sports then?
So I think this is all related to high school sports.
Okay.
So every state has its own high school athletic association. I think that's what they're talking about, because the college sports, those are run by the NCAA.
Okay.
And mostly it's about the conferences agreeing to be a part of the NCAA, and the conferences have their own rules too. So as you go up, the rules are not as broadly defined, because in college you're always competing against people from other states. So those rules have to be above the state level. And I don't mean above in terms of priority, just mean above that to cover an entire conference, an entire
And what are
division.
The NCAA rules about that?
I don't think they have very clear guidelines on it, but at the moment, I think it's biological birth.
That's what it is.
For the NCAA.
It's looking like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, that's not entirely true, because, I mean, we know the case of Leah Thomas, who was swimming, you know, as a male swimmer, and then transitioned and then swam with women at the Division I level.
Yeah.
So I think it might be.
Okay, so that was between 2017
right, so
and 2019.
I think it's changed since then.
Yeah, it looks like it was 2021 that they put these new restrictions on trans athletes.
But those are also, again, they're not. This ruling, my understanding, was about the high school sports and high school athletic associations having the ability to make their rules.
This is. So you guys listen to the show. You have a pretty good beat on me. I'm pretty socially liberal. Have lots of gay, trans friends. We had Alex on yesterday, the artist who is trans, who I didn't know was trans. And I'm 1,000,000% supportive in every way, except this one. Maybe because I was an athlete, maybe just, I don't know what it is, but I am okay with this. You know, I'm okay with biologic born males not competing with girls in high school.
Yeah.
Where are you guys?
Yeah, I think so. At the moment, I want to go by what is provable by science. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we have to put the onus for evidence on people making a claim. Okay. We have separate men's and women's sports for a reason. It's because when you look at world records, when you look at state records, when you look at all of these things, they're not the same. Women can't run as fast as men. That's not sexist. That's science. Like, look at the Olympics. All you have to do is look at that. There are high school boys that run the Olympic times of women, of the women racers. That's not a knock. It's just different. And I think the onus of the burden of proof, I should say, is on the people that are saying that there's no unfair advantage for a person who transitioned from male to female to compete against female sport. And not for that purpose, but if they want to compete in sports. I think the burden of proof is on them to show that it isn't an unfair advantage. Because the thing about sports that we have these rules for, these rules are all about competitive fairness. That's what they're for. It's why we have separate men's and women's leagues and sports. So if you can show scientifically that there's no advantage, I'm open to listening to that.
Same.
Mm-hmm. That's the burden of proof. But we also shouldn't be making this unfair for people who don't have a choice in the matter, which is all the young women that are athletes. They're women. They're young women. They are biologically who they are and what they are, and they can train to the peak of that. But if someone who is trans has denser muscle structure, wider shoulders, longer legs and arms, more height, as an example, because men are typically taller, and men have higher muscle density. It's why they're stronger. You have to be able to prove that there's no advantage. And if you do, again, let's have that conversation. Let's talk about that. But But that's not what we have at the moment.
Yeah. And Andrew, I think you disagree. Am I right?
Mostly, I think how I feel about it is that this is a hysterical non-issue. This is something that affects, what, like 8 sports teams in 8 high schools across the country?
That's the truth, yeah.
We have spent we've spent so much time just on this show speaking about this issue, and we don't even really talk about it. But it just keeps coming up because it keeps being forced back upon us, and now the Supreme Court's involved, and I know of some other, more conservative-leaning shows that talk about this literally like half their show every single day. And it's just such like an incredible, like, it is a ludicrously outsized issue.
Don't disagree.
For what it actually is. Yeah. And that's where I think the actual transphobia gets involved, right?
Yes.
It's the fact that we have to talk about this every single day, 365 days a year, when it is something that really doesn't actually affect anyone.
No, two things are true here. It's used as a political weapon to signal that I'm like you, right? I see the world the way that you do. And it's nowhere near as big a problem as the amount of attention it receives. Andrew's 100% right. Mm. That said, I do think that the high school state organizations do have to have rules about this because their job is to make sure that fairness is enforced, that it's a level playing field. Because that's what sports are. It's about a level playing field. And even if it's a small number of cases, you still have to have protections in place so that young women don't get pushed out of competition or don't end up not getting a scholarship or don't end up being on a team, whatever, even if it's at that level, because someone else has an advantage based on how they were born. So I completely agree with Andrew. This is way overblown. It is way used as a tool to bludgeon people for political purposes, because as he points out, there aren't that many cases of it.
Yeah.
That said, I do think it's okay for these organizations to be able to make their own rules based on what they think is the prevalence of the issue in the state that they govern. The state that they, I shouldn't say govern, but the state that they're the athletic power.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
And I wish the conversation was like this instead of going crazy.
I don't think that a biologically born male who transitions to being female should compete on the girls' volleyball team at Roxana High. But I agree with Andrew that 99% of it has been used to just beat down trans people.
I mean, if you look at the names we put on it, it's like keeping men out of women's sports. Well, that's not even what is going on. Like, that's about the harshest, cruelest way you could phrase that, and yet that's the terms we use in, like, introducing these bills. Like, we got to keep men out of women's sports. Well, no. What you're trying to do is you're trying to say, hey, in this case, trans women cannot compete in girls' sports, and states have the ability to make that decision for themselves, right? That's the kind way of saying it. But that's not what people say.
Right. Yeah, we don't need the flamethrowers on this. We don't need the blowtorches. We don't need the bomb throwing. We can have a rational conversation about this and be respectful to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's largely why I say if you don't think that this is a transphobia issue, you're silly.
It's used that way.
Yeah.
But if it's done properly, it shouldn't be.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I
don't disagree that these states and these high school organizations and these school boards are welcome to come up with these rules on their own, but that's not how it's being done.
Right, and that's what the Supreme Court ruled, is that the states can make their own rules in this case.
Yeah.
As opposed to there being a federal ban on, or some kind of ban on, limiting the state's ability or state association's ability to govern this type of thing.
So it was a close win on birthright citizenship. 5-4.
What's unclear about the Constitution?
I mean, I want to give credit where credit's due. Rach said this morning in the office, and it just, really resounded with me. Because now, Mike Johnson is so sad because this happened, and Eric Schmidt's like, this shall not stand, and he's introducing legislation that will get rid of birthright citizenship. And, I mean, I was on 97.1 for 20 years. I don't remember anyone bringing that up. I don't remember it being a big Republican talking point.
I remember the, I hate saying this phrase, but I remember the phrase anchor babies being a thing.
Yep.
That has, I guess, morphed into the birth, like, the difference between, like, we don't want people just crossing the border and having a baby and anchoring themselves to this country. And I seem to remember the discourse being about, like, oh, because then they have a right to stay because their child is a citizen type of thing. Now we're just completely trying to prevent those innocent children from being a citizen of the place they were born in. Yeah. That feels,
I mean, it's
wild.
It's the 14th Amendment. I mean, this was ratified, what, 150 years ago? Something like that. There is a path to change this if you don't like it, and that is another constitutional amendment. If you don't like that the 14th Amendment says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. If you don't like that, there is a mechanism to change it, which is another amendment to the Constitution.
Yeah.
So if you can't get that done, then shut up, because that language is very clear. It's not ambiguous, and it's not conditional. It's very clear what it says.
Yeah. Welcome back, DGS. I really wish I had Andrew here for this one, because it's a food-related thing. Last night, I had a hankering for bowl cereal. I'm a cereal guy.
Nice.
And I got myself some Honey Bunches of Oats.
Yummy.
And I went to open it. Now, let me ask, how do you guys open the inside of the cereal box? Not the cardboard part.
Right, the plastic bag.
The bag.
You just pull it to separate it. You pull it apart.
So you grab the two sides.
You grab each side and
you pull it apart.
Yeah.
I try to open like one side of the bag.
Okay.
Like just the left side or just the right side. So then it pours out.
Okay.
Like that. I try not to open it in the center.
So I do it like Wheeler, like a caveman. And last night, this thing wasn't budging. And I'm pulling on it for a while. This is sounding bad. And it's going to about sound worse. And I knew at any point it was going to explode. I apologize for this. And I didn't plan it like to be dirty. And then it did and was all over the kitchen. And that made me, as I was cleaning it up, I had time to think, am I doing this wrong? Have I done this wrong for 61 years? But at least you do it the same way.
Yeah, I don't. Do you do it in the middle?
Yes.
I do it on an end.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Instead of doing it right in the center, I pick one end of it. And
how have I never figured that out?
I don't know.
You get more of a controlled pour
that's
when you
correct.
Open on the end.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pour it like a milk carton?
Right. Yes. So the other half stays closed. So
61
you get,
years.
Yeah.
I've been opening my cereal the wrong way. Pulling on the middle.
It's a filthy segment.
It was for you.
Dave, you're like the before in an infomercial. Where it's like, are you struggling to open your bags of cereal?
Dave just like rips the cereal box in half and cereal goes flying everywhere.
Do you do it their way?
There has to be a better way.
Oh,
where you just open the corner of the bag?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Does anyone out there do it from the middle?
I don't think so.
I mean, maybe the majority do that.
Well, you know what, though? Sometimes I will open.
That felt very condescending.
Sometimes I'll open just the middle, but sometimes I will open the entire bag.
Sometimes you have to do that because the side didn't work out right.
Yeah, and then you just shake it from the side, though, because you don't want to.
I love it. Dave says, my wife is super neat and tidy with everything except food packaging. Everything she opens looks like a wild animal tore into it. My kind of girl, Dave. My kind of girl. Believe it or not, when Marina and I first got together, oh, this is embarrassing. Oh, God, this is terrible. I would just rip the bread in the middle of it. Yes.
Like the bag of bread?
Yes.
Why would you do that?
It's already open.
Because
you don't even have to open it.
Because it was so easy, and I didn't care.
I mean, you don't even use the twist tie. You just turn it and roll it underneath.
What?
The bag, into the bag, right?
Oh, the twist tie.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on twist ties.
But you don't even do that, right? You're just like me. You twist it, and then you put it underneath when you set it down, and it holds it closed.
Yeah, now I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ripped it open from the center, and then you just left it sitting out to get stale?
Yes, ma'am.
David.
You know, it's one of those single-use bread loaves. Use them or lose them.
I'm rich.
Use them or lose them.
I'm a happy miser.
I'm independently wealthy. I'm going to get 4, maybe 5 slices out of this bag. Bring me another.
I don't like the bread bag fasteners. Like, I like the twist ties, but the ones that are hard plastic with like the slit, and then you like slide the bag into that.
You don't like those?
Those are easier.
True story.
Those used to stress me out
I
as
have
a kid.
Never in my life up to today resealed the bread the way you're supposed to. I only fold it under now. But I've never done it. I've never done it the right way.
Well, folding it under is not fine. Folding it under is not fine. You're not getting a. First of all, you're not getting a proper seal. You're letting moisture get in there.
If you twist it like you would before putting on the ties, and then you fold it under, it's the exact same thing.
And what if what if like some ants make their way into the cabinet or whatever?
They can still get in.
I say if they can get in that way, they'll get in with the twist tie or the little clip.
I don't know.
I'll show you.
I know how it works. I understand the mechanics.
We have a loaf of
it.
Bread around here anywhere.
One loaf of bread open from the middle sitting in the office.
We should bring one in tomorrow and I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
On the camera. It's really satisfying.
Is it?
Oh my God, yeah.